And the Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Psalm 8 in your Bible, Psalm 8. We're going to be preaching a message today that is a little different than my typical style of preaching, in that we're not going to be going through a particular portion of Scripture, verse by verse. Psalm 8, though, I ask Pastor Chris to read, because it contains a couple of great statements that I want to have fixed on your mind. We have been singing about the name of Jesus Christ, the name of our God, and we serve an amazing God, and His name is amazing, and we are excited about the theme of the name of our God. You know, our vision statement as a church states that our passion is to know Christ and to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. And that's the bluff, the bottom line up front of today's message. We need to know God through His names. Our Bible is filled with names for God. And to be able to know God through the names that He's given us is an exciting thing. The Bible says in Psalm 8 that you turn to, verse number 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And the last verse of the psalm states again, O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Our God has an excellent name. And we can know God more completely when we know God's names. There's a passage in Psalm 29 where the Bible says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto His name. You know, when you start thinking about the name of God and the names of God, and you just reading your Bible, it's amazing how many times God's referred to by His name, like the two passages we just considered reading just a moment ago, the name of God. But here's another passage of Scripture that really catches my attention. We read it a couple weeks ago, but I want to look at it again, Jeremiah chapter 9. It's on the screen this morning. Jeremiah, the Old Testament preacher, said, and he was, of course, giving out God's message. So he said, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I mean, that is the great goal in life, to know God and to understand God. That passage goes on to say that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Great goal in life is to know God. And a great avenue in knowing God is His names. And so this morning we're considering the question, what's in a name? And there is so much that is in the name of our God. John 17:3 records Jesus Christ talking to God the Father. And Jesus said to God the Father, He said, This is life eternal, that they might know Thee. There's nothing more important than knowing God, knowing him well, knowing about him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus Christ said to God the Father that eternal life is to know you. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him. The goal in life is to know God. The Old Testament preacher Jeremiah said it's more important than your education. It's more important than your physical workouts. It's more important to know and understand God than anything else in life. And that's why 27 years ago, when Community Baptist Church was started, we set out with a vision statement that stated that our passion is to know God. And then once we know God, we want to make him known to other people so they can know him as we know him. The goal, the passion of knowing God. How well do we know God? How well do you know God? What do you know about God? What do you know about his character? What do you know about what he's like? If you were trying to explain to someone who did not have a Christian background, if you were trying to explain to someone who God is, what would you tell them? Could you explain God? Could you tell someone who had never known about God who God is and what he's like? God said there's nothing greater in life than to know and understand me. Our passion is to know God. Here's a statement that is kind of a sad statement. It comes from another Old Testament preacher, Hosea. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know it's important to know God. People are destroyed because they don't know God. It's important for us to know God, to know what he's like and to know who he is. I put down in a list of verses, there's just a list of passages there on your little sermon worksheet this morning. Hebrews chapter 1 is referenced. In all of these passages, there are things about knowing God and how God has made himself known to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, the Bible talks about how that God has always made himself known. And he's had avenues through which he made himself known. And the ultimate avenue through which God made himself known was through Jesus Christ coming to earth. And Jesus Christ living the life of God in front of humanity. The book of John, the Gospel of John, says that Jesus Christ exegeted God. He made God known. Out of the being of Jesus Christ, people knew God. Jesus was the greatest avenue out from which man could know God. John chapter 17, back again to where Jesus Christ was talking to God the Father. He said, I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Jesus Christ said to God the Father, I've spent the last 3.5 years manifesting thy name unto men. In John 17 verse 26, Jesus said, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Jesus Christ is the greatest avenue through which God reveals himself to man. And Jesus Christ said, during the time I was on earth, revealing God to man, manifesting God to man, I constantly talked about your name. I manifested your name. I declared your name. You know, there's something special about a name, isn't there? What does a name do for you? Well, a name identifies somebody. When you know a person's name, then you can identify the person being talked about when that name is used. Names are used to identify. Names are used to describe. Now, not so much in our day today. There was a time when names were picked for their meaning. And we see throughout the Bible, someone was called a name because, and then told a characteristic about that person. Names were chosen that had to do with the character of the individual being so named. The names are important. What kind of name do you have? How many names do you have? Most people that have roots in a more of a Western culture have three names. They almost all have a first name, a middle name, and a last name. Not everyone. Some people only have two, but most people have three names. The last name is the family name, and the first name identifies the individual, and then the second name is thrown in there to be able to name them after a relative. And so, you know, with three names, some people only have a couple of names. But those names identify us and speak of who we are. How many titles do you have? You know, titles go way beyond names. There are lots of titles a person could have. Man, woman, husband, wife, dad, employee, employer, musician, teacher. These are all titles. Titles that identify something about the individual being described. Names and titles. You know, God is infinite. And God has vastly more names and titles than any of you. And it's through the names and titles of God that we get to know God. That we learn who He is and that we learn what He's like. And so this morning we're focusing on this question, what is in a name? And do you know God? How many of His names do you know? How many of His titles do you know? Do you ever meditate and think about the names and titles of God in an effort to better know Him? In an effort to better understand Him? What is in a name? Well, I got three questions. You see them as 1, 2, and 3 on your little worksheet this morning. First question I want us to consider is, what is God's name? What is God's name? You know, God has one primary name. That primary name is Jehovah. You can always know that name is present in your Bible when you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, in all capital letters, or if you see the word God in all capital letters. That was the way the translators of our Bible informed us that the Hebrew word in the scripture was Jehovah. You know, there's always been a little bit of an issue on man's side with the name Jehovah, because the people of Israel, the people through whom God brought Jesus Christ and brought the Bible into existence, the people of Israel had such a reverence for the name of God, they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't even write it down for fear that they might use it irreverently. So they took all the vowels out. You ever tried to say a word that's nothing but consonants? You can't pronounce it. And they took the consonants out. Or they took the vowels out and only left the consonants. Long in history after that, they didn't know what the original vowels were. And so they substituted the vowels for another title for God into the consonants of the name Jehovah, to be able to come up with Yahweh or Jehovah, the names that are used today. But we're not sure that's how it's pronounced because we don't know what the vowels were originally. The word Jehovah is what has come down to us that we have and know. And the name Jehovah is the primary name of our Creator. He is Jehovah. He is the great self-existing, always present, always existing, eternal God. I am that I am. I am Jehovah. I'll be known by the name Jehovah. And so that's the primary name for God. There's another name that's used, and there are two. There's a couple of primary titles that are used. I'll call them titles to distinguish them from the singular primary name. And those titles are Elohim and Adonai. Now, Elohim comes across to you in your Bible, in the English language, as the word God, with a capital G and a little O and a little D. When it's all capitals, it's Jehovah. When it's capital G, little O, little D, it's Elohim. And this is the first title or name of God that appears in the Bible. It appears in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. The word means strength or strong one. It's a title that defines that God is ultimate power and strength. And whenever you see the word God with a capital G, little O, little D, you know the emphasis is on something to do with the power and strength of God. In the beginning, God created. He spoke and it existed. Almighty, powerful God. And then there's the title Adonai. The title Adonai comes across in your Bible as the word Lord with a capital L and a little O, little R, little D. And it means a master, someone who owns me, someone who is in charge of me. He is my Adonai. He's my master. So we've got one primary name, Jehovah. We got two primary titles, Elohim and Adonai, all translated by the English words God and Lord, and the capitalization helps you know which name or title is being used in the original Hebrew language. These are the titles. And then beyond that, it has been counted. I've never counted them. It's been counted that there are over 80 titles, names, compound descriptions of God where one of his primary name or two primary titles is used in conjunction with another word that emphasizes some characteristic of God. And it's said over 80 of them throughout the Bible. You know, the study of God's name provides a wealth of information about who God is and what he's like for inquisitive followers who seek God and want to know him. And remember, God said if you're going to glory in anything, don't glory in your 401k. Don't glory in how much you can bench press. Don't glory in the degrees after your name. If you're going to glory about anything, glory about this. You know me and you understand me. And a great source of knowing and understanding God is given to us in all of the amazing names and titles for God. In our prayer sheets that we give out every week here at Community Baptist Church, we have one name of God, and we cycle through the 22 most used names or titles of God in our Bible, and they cycle through. Every week there's a name that I encourage you to meditate on in your private time of worship and meditation on God and study of the Bible, that you take that name for 7 days. And you meditate on that name and you talk to God about that name and you just learn about God through that name. And over time, you can gain such a depth of understanding of God, who he is and what he's like. Last week, we were meditating on the name Jehovah Rohi, which comes across in our Bible as the Lord is my shepherd. What a great name. What a blessing last week to have meditated and thought about what it means for God to be my shepherd and to go through the 23rd Psalm and see all the things God brings to the table when he becomes the shepherd of my life. And my what I learn about God, what I learn about his characteristics, what I learn about who he is and what he's like by meditating on God as my shepherd. This week on our prayer sheets that we're giving out this morning in our Bible study classes is the name Jehovah Roha. Jehovah Roha, which comes across in translation, Jehovah is my healer. Anybody ever needed a healer in your life? Anybody ever gotten the bad news from a doctor and you needed a healer in your life? One of the names or compound names of God that he wanted us to know him by. He said, I am your healer. What a great name for God. What a great characteristic of God. That God created my body. He knows how it functions and operates. And I can talk to God about how my body's functioning right now. Jehovah Rapha. Here's the second question. So what is God's name? Well, Jehovah, with titles Elohim and Adonai, and then 80-plus compound names. Second question, why should I study God's name? And I want you to think about three benefits, three things that provide reasons to study God's name. The first one is that God's names reveal His character. God's names reveal His character. You can't know the character of God without knowing the names of God, because it's through the names of God that He reveals His character to His creation. The title or primary title or the secondary name Elohim, the first one in Genesis 1:1, I mentioned a moment ago, means that God is strong. And that title is used in the introduction of God's creation because God wanted to emphasize that He is powerful enough to speak everything into existence out of nothing. And so when I study and meditate and think about the name God, whenever I find it in my Bible, the capital G and a little O and a little D, I know that God is emphasizing in that passage, in that story, in that part of God's Word, God is speaking to me of His character of strength, that He is omnipotent. So studying God's names will reveal God's character to you. Why study God's names? Well, we study God's names because studying God's names reveal relationships that we can have with God. How would you describe your relationship to God? How would you describe to someone, if someone says, you say you're a Christian, well, what difference does that make? What does that mean? What relationship do you have with the Creator of all the world? How would you describe your relationship with that Creator God? Well, the compound names of God often reveal, and the titles and names of God often reveal something about the relationship. I mentioned a moment ago, the word Adonai means master. When God speaks of Himself as Adonai, when you see the word Lord with a capital L and a little O and a little R and a little D, you know that you're looking at the Hebrew title Adonai, and God is emphasizing, I own you. You belong to me. I am your master. And there's something being carried through that story, through that use of that name in that particular part of God's Word, where God is emphasizing a relationship. What is my relationship to Jehovah? He owns me. He owns me by right of creation. He gave me life. He also owns me by right of redemption. He paid a horrific price to redeem me from my sin. I'm doubly God's. He owns me by creation. He owns me by redemption. He is my Adonai. He's my master. He's my Lord. And that teaches me something of a relationship. And when I meditate on that, when I talk to God about that, when I spend some time worshiping God in prayer and talking to God about the relationship we have, a relationship whereby He owns me and I belong to Him. He is mine and I am His. You know, the Song of Solomon is not a book primarily about the relationship of a human being to God, but rather it's a book about the relationship of a husband and wife together. It's all about their relationship. And, of course, the Bible uses the relationship of marriage, a husband and a wife in a marriage relationship, as an illustration to understand something about the intricacies, about the intimacies of the relationship we can have with God. And in the Song of Solomon, the bride says to the groom, the wife says to the husband, she said, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And that was such a classic statement she made in the Song of Solomon, to speak of the depth of relationship. My beloved is mine, and I am his. That's what Adonai conveys. God is mine, and I am his. He is my master, my Lord. Relationships come through. We mentioned the name of last week. We were meditating on the name Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. You talk about relationship. that God is to me like a shepherd. If you know anything, of course, we don't. We live in Northern Virginia. Why would we know anything about shepherding sheep? But if you ever study an agrarian culture where shepherding is a key responsibility and a major part of people's lives, and you study the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, and you understand the relationship that exists between the shepherd and the sheep, it explodes in meaning, something tangible that we can understand in humanity, sheds light upon God's name. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He directs me. He walks through the valley with me. He spreads a table in front of me to eat, right in the front of all of my enemies. He takes care of me all the time. He is an amazing shepherd to me. You see, relationships come through knowing the names and titles of God. If you study and meditate and talk to God about his names and titles, you grow in your relationship with that God who is all of that to us. Number three, why study God's names? Because studying God's names reveals that he is the solution to our problems. One of the great compound names of God in the Bible is Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. You know, if you have ever read the Bible, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that the Bible is a story about the problem of man's rebellion against God and how God solves that problem. It's all about sin becoming the enemy of God, and then what God does to bring us to the end of the war, to bring us back into peace with the God that we rebelled against. That's what the Bible's all about. One of the names for God is Jehovah Shalom. It shouts to us, I am the solution to your problem. I can bring peace into your life. You can have peace with God. You can even have the peace of God in your life, in your dealings with other people. You see, studying God's name reveals that God is the solution to my problems. You study name after name after name after name of God, and you see over and over and over again, God solves this problem. God solves this problem. God solves this problem. Why study the names of God? Because they reveal his character to you. Because they reveal relationships that you can have with him. And because they reveal that he is the solution to all of our problems. You know, that name Jehovah Shalom was given to us in Judges chapter 6. It was in the story of Gideon. And it was a really bad time. Anything in the book of Judges is a bad time. You know, the book of Judges is an awful, awful, awful book of the Bible. 400 years of man rebelling. The book of Judges ends by saying, and everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. What a description of culture today. Everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. No absolute truth. It's relative to you. You got your truth. I got my truth. Just everyone do what's right in your own eyes. That was the book of Judges. And it is a catastrophic book. 7 years, the Midianites at harvest time would sweep down into Israel right at harvest time, and they would confiscate all of the grain and all of the livestock that had been born that year and take it back to Midian. Year after year, the people of Israel were impoverished. They went down, 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 because the book of Judges is about a period of 400 years in which they raised a generation of children that didn't know God. That's what Judges chapter 1, 2, and 3 is all about. They raised a generation after Joshua's generation. Joshua led them into the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert. They raised a generation of children that didn't know God. And so they began to worship the gods of their cultural neighbors, their heathen neighbors, and the culture of the lands around them. They took their gods. They worshiped their gods. And God judged them. And the judgment was horrific for year after year after year, all those years. Terrible time of God's judgment. Now, for 7 years, they had gone down, 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 down economically because of God's judgment of them. And God's instrument to judge them was the Midianites. And so, after 7 years of this, Gideon's there, and it's harvest time, and he's scared to death that the Midianites are going to sweep in again and take all of their possessions. And so Gideon is trying to thresh out enough wheat to feed his family. Now, if you know anything about threshing wheat, that's beating the wheat so that the kernel of wheat falls off from the stalk. And so they always thresh their wheat up on the top of a hill where they get some cross breeze. And the wind blows the chaff and the heavier seed falls to the ground, and they have threshed their grain to feed their families. But Gideon is so fearful that he won't thresh his grain on a hill where he is vulnerable and visible. He goes down into a wine press. He goes down into a stone, a place that was chiseled out where they would stamp the grapes to make wine out of the wine press. You stamp on grapes, and what do you get? You get wine. We would call it today grape juice, but in the Bible it would be called wine. And they stamped the grapes in a wine press. And Gideon got down in the wine press, and that's where he threshed his grain because he was afraid he'd be seen. How are you going to get any cross breeze? This is going to be much more work for you, Gideon, to thresh the grain down in a wine press, still on a hilltop. But that's what he was doing because of his fear of the Midianites. And God came, and God said to Gideon, I am Jehovah Shalom. I can solve the problems in your life. I can bring peace when all you've known in your lifetime has been war. And I'm going to use you, Gideon. Gideon says, me? I'm a nobody. And God says, I'm going to use you. And if you know the story of Gideon, you know God did use him remarkably, miraculously delivered Israel from the Midianites as a result of Gideon's worship and follow of God. But the point of the story is, God revealed himself with a name. And the name was meant to teach Gideon a relationship. It was taught to Gideon to teach him a solution to the problem that he had. And so, why study the names of God? Because studying the many descriptive and compound names and titles of God opens your understanding to the character of God, to the relationships you can have with God, and to the solutions God brings into your life. This is extremely important, to know God through his names. Now I got a final question. What is God's name? Well, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, and 80 plus compound names. Why should I study God's names? Well, because I'll know the character of God, I'll know the relationships I can have with God, and I'll know how God solves the problems in my life. Here's the last question. What will this study do for me beyond just knowing God? What will this study do for me? Now, I want to suggest to you that there are three blessings that come into your life when you learn God's names. And the first one is that you will begin to hallow the name and names of God. Jesus Christ was asked by the disciples, would you teach us how to pray the way John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray? And Jesus said, sure. When you pray, start here. Start your prayer here. Talk to God about the hallowedness of his name. Prayer begins with meditation on the names and titles of God. Start with God. When you learn the names of God and you meditate on the names of God, your understanding of God just grows exponentially. And one of the great impacts it may have on you is that you begin to hallow the name of God. God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, God takes it pretty seriously when people do not hallow his name. He said, I won't hold you guiltless. I will declare you guilty. You will pay a price if you take my name and you use it at some level of vanity. You know the word vain means without purpose, without achieving its rightful effect and impact. It's vain, it's empty. When you use the name or one of the names of God in a way that does not accomplish the purpose for which God revealed himself through that name, you just say it. You're not thinking about who he is. You're not meditating on his majesty. You're not filled with worship and adoration. You just say his name. No purpose. It's vain. You've used it without the purpose for which he had. And remember, the Jewish people were so serious about this, they took the vowels out because they feared they might use it at some point in vain without the purpose and the value and the meaning of that name. And so they would rather not even say the name than to be able to say it and then misuse it. The frivolous use of God's names and titles has become commonplace in our world, all the way from the extreme of cursing God's name and bringing his matchless name in the muck and the mire of the vile expressions of people who could care less about him. From that extreme, all the way over to the careless Christians who use God's name without a thought about who he is or his holiness. They just... Have you ever typed out the acronym OMG? Were you lost in wonder about your God when you typed that acronym? Were you on your face in humility and in worship of your God when you typed OMG? Or did you just use it as a vain expression? Didn't mean anything by it, you just typed it out. God said, I will not hold him guiltless who uses my name in vain. You see, if you learn the names of God, meditate on the names of God, learn the meaning and the reasons why God gave us the names of God, your knowledge of God increases exponentially, and you just may begin to hallow the name of God. Do you ever use a name or title of God just as an expression? You're not worshiping him. You're not focused on his amazing person. You just say, oh God, or oh Lord. And it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with they put too much jelly on your peanut butter sandwich. Oh Lord, why did you do that? Nothing to do with God. Vain use of God's name. Everything from the wicked who curse God's name to the Christians who irreverently use God's name in a vain way, there is a problem that runs across our entire culture of people who do not hallow the name of God. And you see, when you learn the names of God and make a practice of meditating on the names of God, it just may be that you'll find yourself beginning to hallow the name of God. Jesus said, start your prayer this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, separate from all other names, separate from all other use of vocabulary in my language. Hallowed, holy, set apart, awesome, magnificent. Start your prayer by hallowing the name of God. Learning the names of God helps us to accomplish that. Studying his names can correct maybe error that became a habit in our lives that we do without even thinking about it. But God says, I won't hold you guiltless. I make a record of every time. Every time I make a record. And when you stand before me, you will not be without guilt for using my name in vain. So I'd encourage you to study the names of God, to develop a hallowed sense of God's name. In the Common Grounds Bible Study Fellowship class this morning, the class is studying through Jeremiah. Jonathan Simpson was teaching through Jeremiah, and something that was said in the class sparked a thought in his wife's mind. And Ann Simpson said, I don't remember where, I don't remember who, but way back somewhere earlier in my life, someone told me that when you have a problem in your life, don't jump into prayer talking to God about the problem. Get alone with God and talk to God about himself. Talk about who he is. Talk about what he's done in the past. Talk about the magnificence of who he is. And by the time you get to talking to God about your problem mysteriously shrunk. It wasn't near as big a deal. After you had meditated on the grandeur of the person of our God. I wonder if that's why Jesus said, when you pray, start here. And after a while, you can get down the line to where you can talk to God about the problems you have in your life. But make sure you start here first before you get down here. You just may begin to hallow the name of God. Number two, it'll create a thirst to seek and to know God. It'll create a thirst to seek and to know God. We read the verse from Jeremiah at the beginning of the message this morning, how that God says, don't glory in this, don't glory in this, don't glory in this. But if you're going to glory, glory in this. Know me. Know me. Create a thirst to seek and to know God. Are you thirsty for God? Like the psalmist said, like the deer pants after the water brook. It's about running through the meadows, maybe being chased by a wolf or something. It's thirsty, its tongue, it's hanging out. It comes upon a stream and it stops and it's so thirsty for water. And the psalmist said, that describes my heart. I am so thirsty for God. If you meditate on the names and titles of God and get to know God, you just might find yourself having a thirst created in your heart to seek and to know God. And number three, why? What will studying the name of God do for you? It may make you begin to hallow his name. It may create a thirst in your heart to know him. And number three, it'll help you learn how to become like him. You see, God created us in his own image. God created us in his own image. Sin messed that all up. But you know, many of the names and titles of God reflect an aspect of God that was true in our original creation in us before sin, when we were created in the image of God. And when you study and learn the names of God, you will run across over and over again, you'll run across characteristics of God that God wants to incorporate into your life. Now, you'll never become God. You'll never, a human being will never become God or a God. We'll never be God. But the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can be like God because he created us in his image. And studying the names of God can help you learn what God wants you to be like. So when you teach those to your children, you're teaching them how to be like God, how to grow in God's characteristics. Knowing the characteristics of God revealed by all of his various names helps me grow into what God wants me to be. Let me say this in conclusion. God's different names and titles are revealed to man progressively. It begins with Elohim. In the beginning, God created. And then as you go through the Bible, progressively through the Bible, more names and more titles are revealed. They're revealed progressively. And as we come to know God, we grow in our relationship with God. We're progressively new and deeper appreciations for God. There are new and deeper responsibilities to God because we progressively learn more about who God is and what he's like. You know, it's kind of like that when you were born. When I was born and in my childhood, my major characteristic was I was a son. Later on in life, I got married to Betty and I became husband. Chad was born and I became father. We started a church and I became pastor. I went from son to husband to father to pastor. There was a progressive development of who I was. Do you understand that the names of God progressively are revealed throughout the Bible. And as you learn the names of God, you progressively deepen your awareness of God, your understanding of God, and your ability to be like God. It grows. Each step in my life as a son, husband, father, pastor, each step brought new intimacies and new responsibilities and new appreciations. My life expanded and became richer and fuller with every progressive change. It can be that way in our spiritual lives. As we learn the names of God, there is a progressive growth, new intimacies, new responsibilities, new appreciations. Our life becomes richer and fuller because we know God to a level that we never knew Him before. Do we know God? As your pastors, Pastor Chris and I, realize that it's our duty to God and it's our duty to you to help you know God. And so this is the end of a little six-week mini-series where we sought to lay in front of you on six Sunday mornings, this is God. It started with realizing that when we walk outside and look around us, the created world shouts to us that God exists. Then we turned to the Bible and we found that God is a living being. He is intelligent, He is moral. We found from the Bible that this one singular God mysteriously exists as a union of three distinct people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We've learned that God has a character, the nature, the characteristics, the attributes of God. Today we have considered the fact that God has names and titles that teach us so much about Him. And last week, Pastor Chris led us to meditate through the reality that God ultimately has a purpose in His created world. And the purpose God has involves each and every one of us. You see, we wanted to be faithful to God and to you in laying out in front of you, who is God? And at the end of the day, one of the things that has been done for many years here at CBC is that we give out a prayer sheet, and every prayer sheet has two characteristics, attributes of God, and one name for God. On the prayer sheets today are two attributes, grace and holy. Great attributes to look up the references for and get to know God better in His attributes. And the name, as I mentioned earlier, Jehovah Rapha, God is my healer. Let me ask you, if you will, make it a habit in your life every day, every week, to pray and talk to God and meditate on who He is. His attributes, His names, because that is an avenue of getting to the point where we know and understand God. And there is no greater goal in life than to know Him and understand Him in all of His glory and majesty.